The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How could the apostles be promised blessings and rewards by Christ for following him, yet they seemed to suffer so much? How is this a blessing? How did they maintain joy through suffering? We'll talk about it today here on Grace in Focus. We are so glad that you're joining us today, friend. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. There's lots to learn about us at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. We would also invite you to view our YouTube videos. Our channel is YouTube, Grace Evangelical Society. New short videos each week. Get onto our channel and subscribe and like. It is YouTube, Grace Evangelical Society. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Sam Marr and Bob Wilkin.
We have a question from James, and this is about suffering and blessings. If the Lord promised blessings and rewards to his apostles for following and keeping his commandments, then why did the apostles endure such extreme suffering? These don't seem like blessings to me.
Okay. Yeah, you remember in Matthew 19, after the rich young ruler comes up, Peter says, well, what about us? We have left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, well, in this life, you're going to have 100 times as much. And in the life to come, everlasting life, which I believe there means fullness of everlasting life. So he's promising them this wonderful blessing that's going to come upon them. And yet they were beaten. James, the brother of John, was martyred early, maybe around 40 AD or so. We have all of the apostles except the apostle John were evidently martyred, at least according to church history, they were martyred. Church history says Peter was crucified upside down. Mm-hmm. And you have all of these martyrs, and even John suffered much persecution, although he wasn't martyred, of course. Paul was martyred. The Apostle Paul, you know, describes in his epistles all the beatings he underwent, the shipwreck, the times without food, all the hardships. So how can that be blessing? I kind of laugh when James says, what did he say? It doesn't sound like blessings to me.
Yeah.
Well, a verse that comes to mind is Acts 5:41. Maybe you could read that one.
Acts 5:41.
Yeah.
So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Right. So what happened was the apostles were released and told not to talk to anybody about Christ. So what did they do? They immediately went to the temple and started preaching Christ. Well, then they got rearrested, beaten, and warned severely that this has to stop, and they're rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. So, James, here would be my suggestion. If the apostles suffered for Jesus, they were also given God's grace to be able to view that suffering as something which was valuable. And in fact, that it was a privilege, that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. So it would seem to me that should be our attitude as well. They aren't putting most of us in the West in prison for our faith, but that doesn't mean we don't receive a lot of persecution and a lot of suffering. With the Ministry of Grace Evangelical Society, we get criticism from a lot of Lordship Salvation folks. But we also get criticism from people from within the Free Grace camp who disagree with us on various points, have very sharp critiques of things we write and things we say. And that's painful, too. And then there's just all the normal dealings we have in ministry. Like, as we have this ministry, everything doesn't always run smoothly. Often there are lots of issues and turmoils and things, getting things out on time, right? Getting things published. We published a commentary by John Clase on Revelation, and we wanted to have it by the conference. Well, we had two versions, one softback, one hardback. Well, the softback got here about a week before the conference, and the hardback got here like the week after the conference. So that was kind of frustrating, but that may seem like, well, compared to getting beaten or martyred, that's not much. But the cumulative effect of all these things is significant. In fact, when Paul talks about all of his sufferings, he also talks about my constant concern for all the churches. Well, that may seem like a minor thing, but it wasn't a minor thing to the Apostle Paul. It seems to me if you're a parent and you have concerns for your children, that's not a minor thing. And if your children are not walking with the Lord, that's a form of suffering for the Lord because you have a spiritual perspective. I remember a friend of mine, Bob Swift, he suggested this, and I thought this was so insightful. In 2 Peter, Lot is called righteous because his righteous soul was tormented night and day by the wickedness around him in Sodom. Bob Swift said, if we suffer today because of the wickedness in America and around the world, then we're suffering for the Lord as well, and that's commendable. On the other hand, if we get to the point where this doesn't bother us anymore, well, then not only are we not suffering for the Lord, but we're ultimately being conformed to the image of this world, right? Romans 12:2.
Right, and I think we're called to have the mind of Christ. We won't perfectly have it in this life, but if we did, we would suffer the same way Christ did because he suffered on earth before his crucifixion just by seeing the Jewish people not responding to him. And so if we had purely the mind of Christ and saw how fallen and sinful the world was, then I think we would suffer every day too.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
And so if we had purely the mind of Christ and saw how fallen and sinful the world was, then I think we would suffer every day too. But that doesn't mean that Christ wasn't blessed. So he was very blessed in his ministry. I think that's part of what motivated him. And that's how we know he's a loving God. But he also feels human-like emotions in regard to these things.
Absolutely. I've read that football players in the National Football League have an odd sense of pride over their scars, their surgeries, all the pain and suffering they've gone through, because all that was necessary for them to accomplish all the things they accomplish in the National Football League. I've heard the same thing is true with the military, that men and women who suffer serious injuries, they are actually proud of their wounds, proud of their scars, because these things all remind them that they were faithful in their service for their country. I think we should be the same way in terms of our service for Christ. I like your point. If we have the mind of Christ, then any scars we experience for Christ are glorious. Any pain and suffering will be compensated. In a previous show, we talked about Romans 8:17, where Paul says, if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together with him. Then in Romans 8:18, he says, for I do not consider the sufferings of the present age to be worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us, the us being the overcoming believers. So I think what Paul is saying there is we should view suffering as a good thing.
Right, and isn't that a blessing in and of itself, even if you don't see the fruit of it in this life, but you know I'm suffering in a similar way to Christ suffered, then I would feel blessed in that way too. He went through this. The pain I experience is never going to compare to his, but if I can experience just a little bit of what he did in serving him, then I would count that a blessing, even if I never saw the fruit of that labor in this life.
I think that's a good point. A lot of missionaries certainly have this attitude. Lots of pastors have this attitude. Lots of lay people have this attitude. Prayer warriors have this attitude. It's vitally important for us to recognize that suffering is a good thing if it's for Christ. Now, I believe that James has a second part to his question. Maybe in the last few minutes we could hit that as well.
Sure. The second half of his question is for us, the application. How do we know if the suffering we go through is for Christ or if it's just us facing consequences for what we've done wrong?
Yeah, and I think the answer there is if we're walking in fellowship with God, we're confessing our sins on a regular basis, we're in a local assembly where we're hearing the Word of God taught, then we should assume when we go through suffering that this is something which God is allowing in our lives to His glory, whether it's illness, financial setbacks, accidents, persecution, whatever it is. Now, of course, if we know of some sin in our life that's a sin we have committed, even if it's confessed, then there can be ramifications of that. Say, for example, that a believer robs a bank, and that believer confesses the sin, gets back in fellowship with God, and is sent to prison for 10 years. Well, I think they can pretty much say, the reason I'm in prison is because I robbed a bank. This isn't a reward for faithful service.
Right.
But on the other hand, it doesn't mean they can't glorify God in their time of imprisonment. And I think the same would be true. If we know we have some willful sin in our life, let's say we're unrepentant, then we can expect to experience what the prodigal son experienced. Or even if we have a confessed sin, there can be ongoing consequences from it, depending on the severity of the sin and that sort of thing. So I think there can be some ambiguity, James, but for the most part, the believer walking in fellowship knows whether he's suffering for some sin in his or her life or whether he's suffering for Christ.
I think so.
And by the way, there is a third type of suffering. The third type of suffering is simply suffering because we're human.
Right. We're in a fallen world and there's just accidents will happen and you will die.
Right. And sickness comes. Sometimes the sickness does come due to God's discipline, but oftentimes it's just sickness. And the fine line there is a matter of, do I know if I'm walking in fellowship with the Lord? And it seems to me, based on Scripture, if we have assurance of our eternal destiny, then we can also have assurance that we're walking in fellowship with God. But if we lack assurance of everlasting life, then we also can't know if we're walking in fellowship with God, because those two can go hand in hand.
Right.
Well, I hope this has been helpful, James, and I pray the Lord would guide all of us to recognize suffering for Christ as a blessing. And let's all
keep grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, why did Old Testament believers need to offer animal sacrifices? Please join us for that. And in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.